Happy President's Day. Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. Mark Shiver with you. And if you're enjoying a day off, well, thanks for listening. And hope that you are getting some much-needed recharging. And if you're at work, well, thanks for bringing us to work with you. And we got a great show for you today. We're going to talk with Greg Poulter. And very few people in North Carolina understand the genesis and growth and evolution of the craft beer industry like Greg does. And so we're going to talk to him. There's been a bill filed in the General Assembly that will affect the craft beer industry, most likely in a positive way. And so we're going to dig into that with Greg and find out what's going on there. And I'm sure that you will find it very informative and very interesting. And we appreciate Greg making himself available for us on this President's Day. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you will have an incentive, as it were, to continue to listen and share with others the good things that are happening here at What Matters in North Carolina. Just want to remind you that you can find us over on Facebook at facebook.com/WhatMattersNC. You can find us on Twitter at WhatMattersNC, and you can follow me at Mark Shiver. We'd love to engage with you on social media. And also, if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast. You can have it dropped right into your iPhone or Android device at the iTunes Store and or the Google Play Store, whichever works for you. And be sure, as I said, to tell a friend. Let them know that we're here. What Matters in North Carolina. We're doing our absolute best to bring you quality content, great guests, and keep you up to date with all that's going on in North Carolina when it comes to state government and politics and policy and the General Assembly and the governor and things that matter to your life and to the life of your family and friends, things that matter here in North Carolina. Always a pleasure to welcome back to What Matters in North Carolina, Greg Poulter. Greg, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
And you have a podcast as well at freedomactionnetwork.com called Free to Brew. What's been going on there lately?
Well, we have a bunch of interviews that are slated, lined up from people in Nebraska, from Pennsylvania, and other organizations out there. But here locally in North Carolina, there's a lot, excuse the pun, I think they are pretty fun, or the puns are fun, I guess. there's been some regulations brewing up here in North Carolina, and in particular, that's going to be the increase of the self-distribution cap on local brewers. And basically where we find ourselves right now in North Carolina, there's a large job-killing piece of regulations out there right now that caps production and self-distribution of small brewers to 25,000 barrels a year. Now, that may sound like a lot of beer, but that can barely get you out of the needs of one city for one small brewery. And so the brewers are faced with this issue where if they brew above this 25,000 barrel limit, or if they brew at 25,000, they are going to have to turn over their property rights as far as their branding, their marketing, and are probably going to have to lay off their entire Salesforce staff.
Good grief.
Because they're forced to use a third-party distributor at this point, involuntarily. And right now, there is a piece of legislation that has been introduced a couple weeks ago, HB 67, which would raise that cap from 25,000 barrels to 100,000 barrels. It's sort of interesting, or the actual bill, all that it is it crosses out that arbitrary number that was set back in 2003 of 25,000 barrels and then just puts a 100,000 barrel next to it. Now, this is just the first. A lot of times you'll see multiple bills being introduced on the same topic that have different wording or different ideas that are put in it. But this is the first of many potentially to come.
What's interesting, Greg, about that bill, I'm looking at the list of people who have signed on as sponsors. Representative Becky Carney is a Democrat. Pricey Harrison is a Democrat. Frankly, one of the more liberal Democrats in the House, Representative Philip Lehman, also a Democrat. Then, of course, Representative Speciale, Michael Speciale, is a Republican. He filed the bill. And then we have Representative Mike Clampett from Haywood County and Larry Pittman and then Representative McGrady, all Republicans. So the bottom line is it looks like from the sponsorship standpoint anyway, there's bipartisan support for this bill.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I'm glad you brought them up. I will be having a few of them on the Free to Brew show here in the upcoming weeks.
Cool.
Doing a special on the legislators that are implementing change in North Carolina. And you're right. What is interesting about this bill is it is bipartisan. There truly is no reason why a small brewer should not be able to control his own destiny and providing a service, a product, a craft beer, and a culture surrounding that within their community. And it definitely is one of the, it is a pro-growth, pro-job, pro-basically anything out there, anti-crony, anti-monopoly, anti-everything else. There really is no reason to oppose a bill like this unless you have some special interests that are supporting you. And we can speculate as far as who that is, but nationally it's been known to be the wholesalers that want to enact status quo laws from prohibition times, forcing brewers to use their services involuntarily. Now, I wrote an article a few months ago, actually, that highlighted this aspect of it, and in reality, a distributor and a brewer, or wholesaler and a brewer, should have a very beneficial relationship between the two, as long as the relationship is 100% voluntary, which would mean that if a brewer doesn't want to use their services yet, they shouldn't be forced to. But at any point where a brewer does finally decide that a distributor can offer some benefit, that's when a relationship should happen. But under many, many, many state laws, including North Carolina, that's not the case. And breweries are forced to use a distributor, even though they may not want to at any given point. And what I found is that the government has ruined this relationship through the use of regulations and laws. They've pitted two groups that should be mutually beneficial at odds with each other and making it look like if one succeeds, the other will hurt. But the stats are completely the opposite. If you look at the data across the states, as breweries do better and improve and produce more, you actually see a trend line with distributors that also do much better as well. So these are mutually beneficial in a voluntary relationship. However, in the state that we're in North Carolina, it's not voluntary, and it does not help each party. It pits one at the expense of the other when regulations and the government get involved. And that's why this bill is so important, because it's a very it's not a bill based on, at the end of the day, based on jobs or anything else, even though that is what it helps. This bill is about cooperation, relationships, and voluntary action in the marketplace. And that's what people want. That's what the brewers want. And I would hope and I would think that's what the distributors want as well, since these relationships can be very beneficial, and improving the marketplace for brewers may actually help the distributors as well.
Now, one thing that I heard, and maybe since you're familiar with this topic, certainly much more familiar with it than I am, but is it realistic to the small brewer who is putting out 25,000 barrels, and don't they at some point need that distribution help? Because, I mean, there's a lot of money and cost involved to distribute more than that.
Well, it depends. And, I mean, this is there's a couple things to be brought up on that exact point. One, the distribution cap was not always at 25,000. 1,000 barrels. Back in 1985 in North Carolina, the brewery was finally able and permitted to sell beer up to 2,000 barrels, but only at their brew pub. 1991, it got raised to 10,000, but again, that was still at the brew pub. And then in 93, the brewers in the state were finally allowed to self-distribute their own beer without the use of a distributor up to 10,000 barrels. And finally, in 2003, it was raised again to 25. The argument back in 2003 that this was going to be so high that no brewery would ever want to go above that in self-distribution. However, there are two issues at play on this. One, at 25,000 barrels, it's not that any beer above that sold must be used through a distributor. It's that all of your beer must now be sold through a distributor. So the argument is, and is very well made, that at 25,000 barrels, to hand over all your distribution rights to a third party, that is a job killer and completely changes the game for the breweries that had a model up to that point of selling beer through themselves. And now we're reaching a point where 25,000 barrels, what they said back in 2003 was too high, at this point is way too low. If you look at states such as California and Colorado that have absolutely no distribution cap, which means that a brewery can sell any and all of their beer personally to retailers, they're doing incredibly well, and the distributors out there are doing incredibly well as well, which is what I mentioned just before,
right,
is that as these breweries get larger and bigger, they do have markets where they don't have the relationships that distributors have, or they go into other states now that they've become bigger and they need the distributors in those states who have the relationships there and use their services. But at any point, these breweries in these states do have the ability to self-distribute their own beer if they want. And there's a huge argument out there to be made that as these breweries get larger and bigger and more efficient and productive, that does help the distributor because there is more beer to distribute on the marketplace.
Well, in terms of the public's perception, and I'll just take myself an example. When I think of craft brewers, you know, I think of maybe downtown Raleigh. There's a couple of bars that sell their own beer. And how big of an issue is this in the craft beer market, people wanting to distribute thousands and thousands of barrels? Is the craft beer industry exploding to that degree, or is it still more of, you know, the local tavern guy with his brewery in the back and that sort of thing? I mean, where are we in the evolution of craft beer?
Well, I think we're right in the middle of it, honestly. If you look at, again, states in California and Colorado, if you look at a list of the top 50 brewers in size in craft beer, California has 12 of the top 50. Colorado has 5 or 6 of the top 50. I forgot. Don't quote me on that, but it's 5 or 6. You can look it up on the Brewers Association webpage. But they have five or six. And North Carolina has 0. We have 0 as far as top 50. And there's a lot of great beer that's coming out of this state. But we have some of the most arcane and crony laws of any other state out there. And statistics that's popped up is that we're one of the best in the South. But to be the best of the worst, because the South is the worst when it comes to beer regulations, is by no means a place to tout as a great thing. I mean, when you're competing against all these other states, and these brewers from Colorado and California are now moving to North Carolina and opening up shop. And part of that is because they're getting huge subsidies by the government, which is the taxes that the local brewers are paying are going to these larger guys to set up shop. And what we're seeing in North Carolina is stunted growth, stunted job creation, stunted value creation by these brewers at the expense of these laws that only benefit benefit the wholesalers. They don't benefit the consumer. They definitely don't benefit taxes. They don't benefit the brewer. All they are there for is to prop up wholesalers that arguably can do so much better in a free market if this cap were lifted. And you made the point about these brewers being small, or if they're selling thousands of barrels or not. It really just depends on your business structure and your business model. But I think what we're seeing is Democrats and Republicans both agree that the government should not be determining your business model at all, whether you have to be forced to be small and use a wholesaler or have to be forced to turn over all your property rights when it comes to your beer ownership and brand to a third party and lose all that. We're seeing that the free market can do wonders in the world, and in states like Colorado and California, as well as others, they're seeing a tremendous uptick in tourism, tremendous uptick in job creation. And this doesn't just help the brewers. This is helping other businesses that cater to the brewery world, whether it's as far as rent, as far as property, as far as vats for brewing, the whole craft beer industry in general, glasses. I mean, basically, I can point to iPencil and say that no one person in this world knows how to produce and sell beer alone. There are thousands and millions of people at play that benefit and add to the production of this beer. That these laws that we're seeing on top of not just this 25,000, this 1,000 barrel limit, but on franchise laws, on any number of Sunday laws, on how beer can be sold, what time it can be sold. There's so many restrictions on the market that's hindering where value can be placed and what the consumer actually does want.
Well, certainly, there's probably nobody in the state who has their finger on the pulse of the genesis and evolution of the craft beer industry like you do. So you think this bill will pass, House Bill 67?
I'm optimistic. I mean, as far as the first one that's introduced, this may not be the one that gets passed, although I am hopeful. But the thing is, the reason why this one might not be the best out there either is, like I said, back in 2003, they set it to 25, and they said, well, we'll never get to that point of getting that big. But the thing is, our technology is ever changing. Our markets are ever changing. Our demands are ever changing. Consumers are changing. How beer is produced is changing. How it's distributed is tremendously changing because of the competition that potentially could be there in a marketplace where we're seeing applications like Uber or other ride sharing or the sharing economy or gig economy out there. You can have products delivered by a drone from Amazon within an hour. There's so many opportunities of distribution that to say that 100,000 is going to be the end-all, be-all, we don't have to worry about it anymore, I think is ridiculous. I mean, it truly is ridiculous. And on top of that, this law still doesn't fix the issue of at 100,000 barrels. At that point, a brewer should still be allowed to sell their beer up to that point. But this law does not address that issue. This law really should be unlimited in that sense. That way, a brewer can still decide which markets they'll need the help of a distributor, but then also decide which markets they can do and distribute them or themselves the best. So this is okay as far as a next step. But an end-all be-all, I think this law is only going to cater to the larger companies around the nation and really limit the competitiveness of a brewer in North Carolina.
Well, Greg, you certainly have given us a lot of information. And before I let you go, one last thought, if you could answer this question in 60 seconds or so. why don't we see Anheuser-Busch and those, you know, behemoths in the beer industry taking the craft beer folks on head on and coming out? Because clearly the only thing or the main thing that's driving the success of the craft beer industry is flavor, as far as I can tell, mm-hmm. you know, because anytime that I have had an opportunity to sample, you know, a local beer, it tastes different. Some of them taste really, really unique, really good. Others I don't care for as much. But, you know, certainly Anheuser-Busch or whoever and the big dogs are could compete mm-hmm. flavor-wise, right?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting idea because they have been trying to compete flavor-wise, but on the free market, there are other factors at play. It's not just the flavor. As far as buying from a local brewer, there's a lot of different other value additions that are put into the idea of whether you decide to buy a local craft beer or whether you decide to buy a huge giant. And the value propositions there are you know the story behind the beer. There are interesting ways to brew it that are very historical, mm-hmm. and craft breweries tend to have a very good idea on that market. There's also a cheers phenomenon as well. I mean, you go down to a local craft beer pub, and you know the guys there, you know the people that show up, and it really is a community, and these craft these breweries are contributing greatly to the culture in their community of responsible drinking and a quality over quantity that the large giants like AB InBev, Budweiser, Miller, Coors, they've tried and they can't get into that marketplace. And like you brought up, what's stopping the giants of competing? Well, they are competing. They have well over 85, or the last statistic I saw in 2015, craft beer of over 4,000, now 5,000 breweries on the market, they only have 12-15% of the entire share of the market. Wow. That is minimal for all those breweries out there. And the giants are trying to compete, and they are doing different ways. One, they are behind the scenes in a lot of these regulations that we're talking about, in that they directly benefit from ensuring that the small guy cannot compete on their own terms. The large guys got big and at the expense of everyone else. Look out for a few articles of mine. They're coming out to address that point.
Okay.
But they are trying to compete, and they're doing a very bad job. And that's why they want these restrictions. They want to control the market, and they want to make sure that the small guy can't eke into their sales. Because beer, at the end of the day, it's losing out right now to wine and spirits. They are growing in share of the entire alcohol industry on consumption, and these giants in beer, the AB InBevs, are getting squeezed both ways. They're getting squeezed by the competition of other liquors, and they're getting squeezed by the craft brewers.
Well, we'll leave it right there. Greg Poulter, as always, you're knowledgeable and able to articulate this stuff so we can understand it. Thank you very much for being our guest once again on What Matters in North Carolina.
Mark, I appreciate that.
Well, good job, Greg Poulter. Thanks for bringing us up to speed and letting us know about House Bill 67 and the craft beer industry. Boy, you know, very few people are eloquent on a topic, but it's very clear that Greg knows his stuff when it comes to craft beer, and we appreciate him sharing his knowledge and wealth of information about the craft beer industry with us here on What Matters in North Carolina. Hope that you have a great rest of your day. Thanks for listening. And you don't want to miss this week at all, because we have a slate of guests lined up for you that really are good. And the information that you're going to receive is going to be second to none. Just to give you a little tease, tomorrow we're going to be talking to Representative Bob Steinberg, big wind farm up in the northeastern part of the state in his district. And we'll find out all about that. Some people weren't all that happy about it. Some people were. We'll bring you the latest with Representative Steinberg. So look for that tomorrow right here on What Matters in North Carolina.